We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Wake that ass up.
Early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha Guy. We are The Breakfast Club. We also have Lauren LaRosa, which is our guest host. We got a special guest in the building. We have Miss Mia J. Welcome.
Hello, hello. How are you guys?
How are you feeling?
Good morning. What's happening?
I'm feeling pretty blessed.
Good, good, good. If you don't know who Mia J is, of course, she's Young Dolph's fiance, also the mother of his children. And I just want to say thank you because last year we went on this, this year we went on a huge car show tour and you allowed me to share some of Young Dolph's works with the world.
For sure.
Cars and artifacts and jewelry. And it was just an amazing show. So I just want to say thank you for allowing us to do that and show that to the world.
For sure. Thank you for even inviting us and thinking of us to collaborate together.
No, I think it was a great collaboration. I just want to say thank you for that.
And I love your Black Men Deserve to Grow Old movement. Tell people what that is.
So that movement, it started off as a campaign, honestly. I lost my brother in 2020 to gun violence. He was an honest working man, had a car dealership. One of his customers took his life. And after that happened, it really devastated me. Like, we were 3 years apart. If you see my children, mm-hmm. like just how they interact, engage, that was me and my brother. So mm-hmm. I was just, you know, like, I couldn't believe that somebody would take his life so frivolously. And so it prompted me to start, you know, and then I also was talking to a girl I went to high school with and people that were around me, like, oh, my brother got killed too. And the guy who did it, he was out on bond. He was facing an attempted murder and he took my brother's life in the process. And it was just happening so much. And we were just talking, I'm like, Black men deserve to grow old. Mm-hmm. Like, that is so messed up that, like, it's so risky. The odds be stacked against Black men like they are. And so I started it as a campaign just to raise money for a few the families that I were talking to, like the different people who were connected to me that had experienced loss, as well as my sister-in-law, just to be able to help. And I wanted to raise awareness, like, y'all, this intraracial crime problem that we have, you know, where we're just taking each other's lives real senselessly, the love is lacking. We need to do something about it. So I started it as a campaign in 2021. And then like 3 months later, Dolph was taken the same type of way, like just violently, prematurely, it's like reason-wise, it's like, it's not a good reason for these men just to be snatched from their families and communities and stuff. And so it just, after his death, it just amplified, people listened more. I think the message resonated more, like, dang, you were talking about that, and then it happened to you even closer than it did before. So that's Black Men Deserve to Grow Old, to a call to action and a message that's meant to be spread within the Black community first and foremost, that we need to do better amongst one another, because we've taken fathers from families, like mentors from communities and all of that senselessly. We need to do something about it.
How are you holding up? You must feel it every time there's a court case, every time you hear the music. So how are you doing?
So for sure. I mean, I feel it. It's like I relive my life, you know, like over and over again, like that particular day, the taking of, in so many different types of ways. And to be honest with you, the question was asked when we were here, like, how do you maintain your strength? I'd be like, man, from God. It's no other. And I know as cliche as that may sound for so many, like, what does that mean? I get how cliche that may sound, but it's like, I really don't have a true answer outside of that, because it is heavy. It is me using my voice to advocate for the people I love the most that was taken from me violently. And it's not just for them, it's for our whole community, because this could happen to anybody's family, brother, husband, fiance, whoever. And it's like, it's heavy, but the burden feels very light. And I can't quite explain what that is. Why? Other than, like, it gotta be God, you know? He gave me this, he knew when he created me that I was gonna be carrying out this task. I didn't, you know? You couldn't have told me November 17th that this was something I was gonna have to carry. And so for me to be able to stand up, for me to be able to hear his music, all it does is, like, really fuel me. When I hear, like, his interviews, I didn't listen to him like that when he was here, because I was too busy being a mom and taking care of the family and doing things. And I just couldn't keep up with everything he had going on. But now when I listen, it's like I feel like he's giving me messages, I take them as messages of encouragement and just, like, keeping me going. And, you know, like, I don't know. I'd be thankful that he has so much on wax, you know?
I wonder about that. You know, I don't think you ever truly heal from the type of trauma you experience. But when you constantly see, you know, his interviews or, you know, videos, because, you know, I feel like I'm always seeing Dolph on my timeline. Does that help or hurt?
I mean, I feel like it helps, because it's peace. You know, he brought peace in my life. Like, that life that I spent with him, it was a beautiful time in my life. Even though in the thick of it, I'm going to be honest, you know, you go through so much with people, but the good definitely always outweighed the bad. And it's like, when I reflect on who he was to me, it's like, I smile. Like, it's I hear his laugh, or so many things that sparks a memory from the time that I enjoyed the most, you know? It's like, I feel good to hear him, see him. I smile. You know, sometimes I could shed tears, but they're not always tears of sorrow. It's because I've now accepted that we're only here for a finite amount of time, and we ain't meant to be here forever. We all got to check out at some point. And unfortunately, he did. But I love hearing him and seeing him.
How did y'all meet?
I was in college in Memphis. And my roommate at the time, she was like, it's a guy I want to introduce you to. She was friends with one of his friends. And I'm like, listen, anybody that's associated with homeboy, birds of a feather flock, I'm straight. No. And she was like, he rapping. I listened to the music. I wasn't into rap at that time in my life at all.
What were you listening to?
I was listening to, like, neo soul. So I have a background in, like, music, but, like, classical, jazz, neo soul, gospel, all of that, right?
So you like Jill Scott, Flow of Tree, Erykah Badu.
All of that.
That's
Jasmine
my vibe,
Sullivan,
too. I'm with you.
That's your energy, too.
That's my energy. Mm-hmm. That is really my energy. Always has been. So when she would play him, I'm like, listen, I'm straight. Like, I'm straight. But Once I actually met him, she said that for a long time. Once we actually met, he was really too cool for school for me. Like, we met at the mall, finally. And he like, put your number in my phone. I'm looking like, boy. Like, you too cool for me, but whatever. And it was just a real easy going. Like, we just got up as friends. And when he spoke and when we talked and when we, you know, just kicked it, I was like, dang, he really is filled with some substance. Like, he's very intelligent, or he's very focused and determined. So all of those things, it was those character traits that really attracted me to him. And after a long time, I was like, I fell in love with him because he was, like, different than what the eye just saw, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's how we met.
When you talk about, like, the interviews that you watch that make you smile, or maybe you start your day with, what's, like, one of your go-to things or, like, messages that he has out in the world?
To be honest, it's really one of his songs. One of the songs when I really, my go-to is like this song called You Got It with Vito. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he's talking to me. When he was here and he played the song, I was like, oh, you talking about me? But it's like this, you know, like, baby, you got it. You look like a goddess. You got me. Like, the words that he's saying, it's like, when I need to be picked up, like, mm-hmm. to find another one like you, I doubt it. Mm-hmm. You know, just all of these different types of things. Like, it's girl, it's your world. They can't do nothing about it. Like, it's something that breathes life into me, like, just keep going. That he will be proud of you just for keeping going, you know?
Mm. So. I've been seeing you speak out about the criminal case, and you said that you've had some frustrations, like, and you've been advocating for a fair trial. What do you mean when you say a fair trial?
So it's a lot of things. It's a lot of things, obviously, I can't say. But the thing is that, you know, each victim, it's a victim's bill of rights, right? Mm-hmm. And you're supposed to communicate with them. You're supposed to update them. It's been things that, like, I've been updated via the media, you know, and it's just a form of disrespect that I felt like, why should I get on the internet and see anything there first, you know? And I just feel like the courtesy, let us know. It's been things that, you know, just the way I feel like the family was being handled, just as when they do give us updates and we're like, oh, we don't like how that, you know, that don't sound kind of right, like a low bond like that. And it's like, well, this is what we're doing. And I've talked to other people, consulting with other attorneys and former U.S. attorneys, and they're like, well, you know, your voice should be heard. Like, if it's something that you guys are not really liking, it doesn't sit well, like, have they tried to, you know, talk to you guys about meeting in a better common ground or presenting different types of terms? I'm like, no, it's pretty much like, this is what it is. Mm-hmm. You like it. This is what we doing. And, you know, it's a U.S. case. And so it's not a Dolph case or whatever the case may be. But I'm like, listen, this is not fair the way that this is being handled. And if we have rights as victims, like, let's honor those rights and let's respect the family and let's do a better job of communicating and making sure that the family is, you know, in agreement with what's going on a little bit more. Especially if there's room for that, let's make room for that.
Right. What's your thoughts on Memphis? How do you feel about Memphis? Because, of course, Memphis, he was killed in Memphis. But Memphis has so much love for Dolph, right? And I've seen it at the car show we did in Memphis. I mean, the amount of people that came out and was crying and just happy to see everything from his artifacts to how it was built to the Dolph Museum that was built. What's your thoughts on that? Because they took your baby.
Yeah, no, for sure. And my brother. My brother was there, too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's bittersweet for me because Memphis is very supportive, even of me, the movement, my kids, just everything, you know, like Dolph. And it's really, like, kind of split. Like, for me, it's very hard because I'm this person that's like, listen, like, you with me, you not, like just get away from me type of thing. And it's kind of hard with it being a city where, you know, you could be in support over here, you could be in support there, just different types of places and stuff like that. And it makes me feel uncomfortable because I'd be like, where are you really staying? Like, I feel like that's what kind of be in the back of my mind in a sense. And, you know, safety-wise, it's just like not even just in terms of Dolph, it's just like it keeps seem like it's being worse and worse. And not just in Memphis, but in a lot of urban areas where for me, safety-wise, I'm like, listen, I don't want to be nowhere near it, you know? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's so hard not to because he did love that place. And there is so much work to be done, and there is a huge support. And I do have a love for Memphis because that's where I did my growing years. I grew up as a young woman in Memphis. So I definitely have love, but it's very bittersweet.
Is it true the judge was removed from the case?
It was. That was one of the things that I learned via the internet, via social media.
Why was he removed?
So how I understand it, he was removed because there was one of the what do you call them people?
Defendant.
Defendants, right, him. he made a song in jail, and he was reprimanded by the judge, but the judge didn't follow the proper protocol in reprimanding him. And so for that, he had to, you know, recuse himself, which basically like, hey, you know, if this wouldn't have happened now, later on down the line, it could have been like, we want to
mistrial or something.
Yeah, or something like that. So it I see the benefit, but also it's just, it was just so many things about it, the questions that I had, like, you know, kind of, it's just a lot. And I guess you have to understand the legal system for how those type of technicalities happen, but it's basically how it happened. But he's a seasoned judge, you know, very seasoned. I've done my research on him, very fair. Mm-hmm. Seemed like he would be very appropriate for the case, but things have happened in a different type of way, so.
I am shocked one of the defendants got bond, though. For a crime so heinous, I'm shocked they gave him a bond.
When you asked about that, what was the explanation of, like, even just the number?
Well, they're very vague, you know, so, and I get that, like, and I honor the vagueness because there is a sensitivity that you got to protect information and stuff. So they weren't very direct about why that happened, right? But they said that this was one of the best, this was a decision that they had to make, that they felt like they were making a pretty much good decision. So we got to wait and see.
You just have to trust so much right now in things that you don't understand. Yeah. Is that really tough? Like, what do you worry about most when it comes to the case?
And you know what? I'm glad you just said, it's like the trust so much. That's why it pulls you. Like for me, I've just been pulled to, like, you got to just trust God. You got to lean not to your own understanding. You got to lean to God's understanding, because I will never understand why he was taken, to why the process is like what it is, to so many different types of things. And that's why I'm like, you know what? Let me just make sure my heart stay in the right type of posture and condition, so my prayers can be honored, like that justice will be served, and that I will one day understand soon enough, you know, because it's nothing. I can't sit back and just keep worrying about it, because it's not going to do any justice for my body, my physical health, my mental health, my spiritual health, me being able to have the strength to keep going for my children. I just got to be able to trust in the process and just know that, like, everything is going to work out for the good, you know?
How much of it is too much to take in? Like, you know, because do you want to know the why and the who and the what?
I do.
Like, really?
I do. I want to know the why and the who. I want to know, though. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm sure as once that time comes and those actual trials come, I'm going to probably be shaking. Mm-hmm. And I know I probably will, because when my brother, I sat in like one of his, like, so Dolph's taking kind of overshadowed my brother's, right? Mm-hmm. But in the beginning of my brother's, I would go and I was listening and just hearing the defendant talk and whatever the case may be, I was just shaking. Like, mm-hmm. I cannot believe this. It was so just...
surreal.
Yeah, and it was like, I can't quite explain how I was feeling, but it's going to take a lot out of me, but it's just something I'm going to have to take. I'm just going to have to take it, because I do want to know why, because I need that type of understanding. Like, why would you, what was so severe for that to happen? You know, like, I need to know the facts.
And how are your kids doing?
My kids, to be honest, they're doing a lot better. You know, I was listening to this interview the other day with Charleston White, and he was talking about the effects of, like, young boys or whatever, and they get so angry, and when they're young, they don't have their fathers, they have so much anger pent up in them, and they end up channeling that anger in different types of ways and end up wanting to take somebody's life and this and that or whatever. And when I was listening to it, I recognized my son after his father passed, up until like probably the beginning of this year, so angry, and was never that child. Like, he, when I tell you, like, stellar child, he was that. But he was so angry, and like, I'm talking about, like, if I was like, give me the phone, he like, no, like, he want to step up to me, anybody, he'll step up to anybody. And he, so
that's trauma though. He's just projecting the pain and the hurt he feels from losing his father.
He was, but like he said, you got to channel that. And I understood it, and it was making me mad sometimes. I'm like, listen, I'm restraining myself right now, cause you got me messed up coming at me like that. But I was like, I'm gonna find a proper help for you. So I put him in a mentorship program and a karate program. And he even tried his karate coach or whatever. Like, if you see this big guy right here, he about that size. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I'm about to let him know I ain't scared of him. I'm tired of not speaking up and saying. He was 7 years old at the time. Mm-hmm. 7 years old, talking about, or 8 years old. I'm tired of not letting him, you know, like, making him feel like I'm scared of him. And I was like, I don't think he think you scared of him. He was like, well, I'm gonna speak up. He spoke up. He stepped to the dude. He got picked up by his little karate suit up in the air about 6 feet off the ground, or about 3 feet off the ground. And he got dealt with, and I had to allow that to happen because, I mean, it was hard to watch.
But you were there when it happened?
Yeah, I was there. I had to walk out because I was like, listen, I just don't know. Like, but I needed to let it happen because I did respect his mentor, his coach or whatnot, and it needed to happen. And from that day on, he ain't tried me, him, nobody. And the coach told him, like, man, you got a spirit that's trying to get you to self-destruct. You angry, I understand, but you need to learn how to control it. Self-control is everything, right? And afterwards, I was like, what did daddy used to always say? He was like, if you're not in control, you're out of control. Mm. And I was like, so we need to stay in control, because being out of control, like, you got to maintain self-control. And so we worked through those. And when I tell you, from that day and just ongoing, my son, it's like a burden was lifted off of him. Mm. And he's doing so much better, so much back kind of to his old ways and his old self. And I'd be thankful for that, just for channeling that energy in the right type of direction, you know?
You think it's more the Dolph's murder than just what we know?
You know, gut-wise, I'd be feeling like that. But then I'd just be like, you know what, I don't know. And I just don't believe in sending myself down a rabbit hole, you know, based on...
Internet gossip.
Yeah, just any of that. I had to, you know, because it's a lot that was out there, and like, you cannot get caught up in that. Like, it's so many people. It'd be people trying to talk about him like they knew him. I'm like, I slept with this man every night. Mm-hmm. Like, y'all don't know him? Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? Like, but, and I'm like, so my gut feelings are totally, you know, they could be totally different. But even that, like, I don't know. I don't have the facts. I don't know the answers. I don't know. So even when people misquote me or take pieces of anything I may say, it's like, I said, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I want to know. I pray for knowledge and understanding and all of that. Don't get it twisted with me saying anything based on what's already been presented. Like, I'm just, based on what's been presented, I may have an opinion about it, but ultimately nobody, even the stuff that's been presented, nobody truly knows.
Do you have any concerns that justice won't be served?
I don't. I don't have that, because I really, really stand firm. And real firm that it will, and I don't even want to start to allow myself to diverge into different ways of thinking that it won't. Like, I don't even want that's because that's negativity to me. Like, that ain't nothing but a negative thought, and I can't even let that just enter inside of me, or, you know, like, take over me, or even be a thought. Like, I gotta have positive thoughts, and justice will be served, you know.
Can you break down mind frame early on, right? And the reason I ask is, before the Breakfast Club, 16, 17 years ago, Dolph always had a mind frame of what he wanted to do business-wise, right? He never signed to a major. He didn't want to sign to a major. Everything was independent. You know, most of that comes from, of course, your queen. You're having conversations late at night. So explain that mind frame and where it came from, and what was some of the thought process back then?
Mine's or his?
Both.
So I think Dolph, like, he just really believed in ownership. He did. And I think that ultimately Dolph almost, like, he used to always say, like, he didn't think he was going to be there long, like, he was going to live long, right? And he used to say that because he felt like that it was he had so many near-death experiences. Like, I used to be like, you like a cat with 9 lives. Like, literally. I'm talking about before any of the ones that we know about publicly.
Right.
I'm talking about car accidents to all type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? And he is like, every time he made a new year, you know, he was just like, I'm just thankful. I'm grateful to be here. But I think that he wanted to leave something behind. He wanted to do something for his family that, you know, like, to just set them up. And I think ownership in his mind, like, what he knew about it and what he was learning about it, like, if I don't own it, you know what I'm saying, what can I really pass down like that? You know, even at some point of the fizzle. So I think it was a lot of that, and it was that determination. Like, I want to do something for my family within my lifetime. I want to set my family up in a way that, you know, it account for generations. Like, because he would talk about generational. And I was like, you know, we would have those conversations. I was like, yeah, when I was in school, I'm a finance major. Mm-hmm. I was like, I always wanted to, you know, set up generational wealth, but they didn't teach me about that in school, right? And so we would talk about it. And I was like, yeah, it was like I was there with him, but I ain't going to even be, I'm going to be real with you. Like, even me at that time, a lot of conversations, like, I would have them with them, but I didn't understand what that looked like to even build it. Even the type of ownership, I didn't understand what all that meant and looked like. And now that he's gone, it's like, oh.
This is what he was talking about.
I see now, you know? And so, but he was just like light years ahead. And I just looking back, when we would have those conversations, yeah, I'm gonna be there, boo. Yeah, generational wealth us. You know what I'm saying? I'm there with you. What you need me to do? But I didn't really understand his. I didn't understand at that time.
Is it true he owned over 100 properties in Memphis?
Dolph owned properties, not just in Memphis, but he owns properties just across the, you know, just the country or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's not just in Memphis. And he did do a lot of investing in the right areas, you know, like he would just reinvest his money really wisely, you know, in different types of ventures and things like that. So he definitely was just, like I said, just very committed to establishing, you know, just like I said, the milestones for generational wealth.
So y'all straight.
Yeah, thank God.
That's praise be to God.
Thank God. Like we are.
What's your day-to-day like now, like as a mom, as a business owner? I think, you know, we talk to you a lot about like Dolph, but like what are you like on a day-to-day as a businesswoman because of all of that that you got to watch and be a part of?
Man, like I'm going to say running around with a chicken, like a chicken with my head cut off, and not like seriously because it really everything works its way out. But, you know, it's like I'm taking on mommy, daddy business. Like I have so much more responsibility than when he was here, right? And it's just like I have to take off multiple hats. So I start off the day, I'm mommy, you know what I'm saying? Making sure lunches get out. All of the same stuff I used to do. Lunches get out, breakfast gets made, kids get out to school. Then I'm working on various parts of my business, the advocacy part of my business, trying to actually, like, you know, we got to make money to keep the business sustaining itself and stuff like that. So that part of it, leading a team, doing that, having to cut that off clean, like, you know, so when my kids come home, they have me back. Mm-hmm. And that's such a, I can say when he was here, he didn't want me to work at all. Like anything that I was doing at that time in his life, he probably was like, you're getting on my nerves. Can you just be in the kitchen, cook us some good meals, make a smoothie? I don't know. Y'all had a thing one time. He's like, can you make me a smoothie? Mm-hmm. But just doing all of these things, keeping the family together, that was my priority. Mm-hmm. And you know, the only way that he bought into it was that, like, I used to be like, let me do my chores first and then I go do my business, right? Mm-hmm. So now that's the same mindset that I have, like, okay, let me do my chores. My chores is being there for my kids, doing homework, all of that stuff. Once that's done, then you can do whatever you want to do business-wise. And that's kind of, I'm juggling that and it becomes very chaotic and a lot, but I'm getting through it. Mm-hmm. I'm getting through it.
Were y'all planning the wedding?
We were, like, so we were in that, like, listen, we had just told our therapist or whatever, like, we're ready to start doing premarital.
Oh, y'all was going to therapy?
Yes.
Okay.
We were doing therapy, and it was, I would recommend that to anybody. If you want to bring stuff of wanting to, like, walk away or anything within your relationship, go to therapy first. Mm-hmm. And we had a faith-based therapist, and that really helped us a lot because that's really where relationship starts or whatever. And mm-hmm. it started to, I could even see the changes in him, like with our, like the, what is the duty of a husband? And a, you know, like the, you're the leader of the household. And so a lot of things, like when she would put things in certain types of ways, he was grasping it. He was changing. I could see how he was dealing with me and me too. What's the duties of a wife? And so we got to a point where we was like, we cannot wait to like celebrate this moment. Cause we've mm-hmm. come a long way. And so she had just sent me, like on November 15th, she had just sent me the questions for the premarital counseling. And I was like, okay, when he comes back from out of town, he had left that Monday. Let's see, I think that was the same day that he left to go to Memphis was the day she sent it to me. And I was like, okay, our sessions was on Wednesday. I was like, he gonna be out of town. But once he comes back, we gonna get on so we can start doing this. And one of my girlfriends was planning like a big party for Future, actually. And I was like, as soon as you get done, she was a wedding planner. I was like, as soon as you get done with that, we're going to send our little deposit and get started. And it was going to be a surprise wedding. We wanted people to show up for my birthday. And they thought they was coming to like a ball, a gala or mm-hmm. whatever. And we were going to get married. And he wanted his parents to have their vows renewed there.
Oh, man.
And that's where we were in the planning phase of things. It was like, mm-hmm. we ready to celebrate how far we've come. And that Wednesday came and it was like, you could have never paid me to believe that we wasn't going to have a chance to dive in. Like the questions, I was like, these questions good. Like I cannot wait to go into therapy with him with these. And we just never made it there. Yeah. Never made it there.
Damn. I'm so sorry that you got to go through any of this.
Absolutely.
You know, that's why your organization, your movement is so important. Mm-hmm. You know, even just putting that into the universe, Black men deserve to grow old. Yeah. Yes, we do. Black women as well, but yes, Black men definitely.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's just, yeah, man. I'm sending you healing energy always.
Absolutely.
I really do.
Mm-hmm. We appreciate you for joining us.
Yeah.
And how can people follow you if they want to follow you?
What's the future of the movement and everything?
Yeah.
The future is to amplify this message, to continue to create dope products. Like, I look at this like anything that say black men deserve to grow old, like when people wear, you're like a walking billboard. Like, you're spreading a message. Like, when from one black man to another wearing it, it's like at this point, this is like a peace, like, you know, like a sign of peace. Like, bro, I'm not coming for you. Like, I'm with you. Like, you deserve to grow old. I deserve to grow old. It's embodying love for one another. You don't got to know somebody to have love for them, to just have, like, man, I want to see you make it home to your family, just like I want to make it to mine.
That's right.
That's the message that I want to kind of just be resonating as you see person to person to person. Mm-hmm. I want this to be something that's global. Like people are walking across just different areas and stuff like that and seeing this message. And the thing is, it's not to say that nobody else deserves to grow old. We all do. You know, but the odds stacked up against a black man's life, not even as much as a black woman, but a black man. Like, you walk out your door in the morning, you just trying to provide a living for your family. It can come from a police trying to, you know what I'm saying, think that you a thug or you doing something you wasn't supposed to be doing and your life being snatched. It could be a dude that's been watching you like, bro, you been coming up. Yo, you get money out here. Let me snatch that up off of you and taking your life. It could be so many different types of ways. And that backbone of our community, you know, like our society, like, we need strong black males to help guide the young males. I can't teach my son, like, in that situation I told y'all, I can't teach my son how to be a man how to be fearless, or he gonna have to hear that from another man. And the best person is his father, you know, especially if he can be healthy and whole to be able to show up and be that mentor for his family, you know. And so we just need them to grow old so they can be able to learn and gain wisdom and give that wisdom, and mentorship is needed in our community so we can flourish as a community. Otherwise, we're just going to continue to have a genocide happening before our very eyes.
How can people follow you and purchase some hoodies and sweatshirts if they want?
So they can follow Black Men Deserve to Grow Old on IG, on all platforms. Black Men Deserve to Grow Old. Go to BMDTGO. We shorten it for y'all. BMDTGO is just the acronym for Black Men Deserve to Grow Old. .com. You can follow me at I Am Mia J on IG and platforms as well. But we just, like, yeah, just go on there, buy something, show your support, your advocacy. Help us spread this message, because that's what's needed.
All right. And we thank you again for joining us. We appreciate
Absolutely.
You.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
It's Mia J. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350+ live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.